Welcome to Reclaiming the Republic. This show is sponsored by Mobius Strip Press. I am G.R. Mobley. If you go to my site, reclaimingtherepublic.org, you will have access to my content and support documents and links. This is an educational grassroots program leading in restoring the Republic and placing the federal government back into the scope and framework of the Constitution once again. And welcome back. You are tuned in to Reclaiming the Republic, and this show is sponsored by reclaimingtherepublic.org, 1798part2.org, republicreview.org, as well as mobiusstrippress.com. This is the only show that provides the, if you're interested, in the constitutional solution in getting the federal government into compliance to the Constitution. The number to call in today is the same as yesterday, so I'll tell you what it was. 215-867-8255. That's 215-TOP-TALK. And we do have more of the Federalist 49th article, Federalist Paper, article number 49. As you know, this show is dedicated to supporting those state legislators willing to sign a pledge and committing themselves to protecting your liberties, and your liberties are best protected by our U.S. Constitution. It is only parchment until we demand it be complied to. I just kind of fly through a lot of this stuff. You know, I've got that crowdfunding. If you don't know, then right there on GoFundMe.com, if you go there and you just search for Reclaiming the Republic, you'll be able to find my GoFundMe page. And you can read the campaign, and you can contribute. There's all sorts of ways you can contribute if you don't have money. If you've got a computer and a phone, like I always tell you, you can just send me an email, info@reclaimingtherepublic.org. I will work with you in helping you so that you can actually contribute. This doesn't require us to pick up muskets or pick up AR-15s. Any type of weaponry. We do not have to fight. The framers and the good Lord's insight in giving us the Constitution that he gave us and the groundwork that the framers had laid, we have the ability and process of actually being able to take back our Constitutional Republic without ever having to fight another revolution. I think the good Lord knew what we were going to be facing in these days, and it is crazy. It is just like that metaphor I always use of the train wreck of 360 trains all coming in every different direction, you know, on a compass and literally coming into the train station all at the same time at top speed. It's a lot of carnage. It's just a mess out there. So if you want to help, and again, you can send money, I would also ask, and I would beg and plead, that you consider sending a donation to Chad Christensen and Marty Halverson. If you go to Reclaiming the Republic and the candidate endorsement page, you just click on both of those two candidates. They are still in a heat, and it would be greatly appreciated, and it is probably best advised to support them, because we need to get them across the finish line. Once we get these folks across the finish line, next year you are going to find that they're actually going to be talking about auditing the Constitution. They're going to be actually addressing this concept, and this will start moving forward, and you'll be able to tell your friends, well, I actually started learning about this a year before this even happened, because that's when we started on this radio show with Red State Talk Radio in January. So you'll be able to say, yeah, I've been telling you to tune into this guy. He's not a wacko. He actually goes through the documents. He cites everything. And there you have it. So you are already a step ahead. And I can't promise you it will be entertaining, but I will promise you that it will be productive, because when you finally get people talking about what needs to be talked about, then you're already making steps in the right direction, right? I mean, if you've ever had conflicts, if you've ever had problems, 9 times out of 10, getting the conversation started is really either the icebreaker, it is the pathway forward, always is the pathway forward. So with that, as I always do, and there's been a bit of news in the news today, But in checking, there is no sign that there's going to be a relinquishing of the education department or any unconstitutional department. I've told you before, even if the government does this, even if the government gets rid of, even if Trump says, I'm done with the EPA, I'm done with you housing and urban development and all of these things, even if he does that, the next president, the next administration, the next Congress or whomever can come back and usurp those same powers, saying we like doing these things and we're going to continue doing these things. The only thing that will get them to stop is having the states put their foot down and assert their authority over their constitution. So that's why it requires you and I to get involved so that we can actually start holding our public servants' feet to the fire. Now, I know you probably really chomping at the bit about, you know, all these, you know, what do you want to call them? These explosion devices that have been mailed and so forth that have been sent out to Hillary, Obama. I didn't even mention it yesterday. I was going to mention it, but I go, you know, really, does somebody care that somebody sent Soros a bomb? But apparently he may have gotten the precursor, but I'm going to tell you that, in my humble opinion, this is not a coincidence. I will even start tying all of these other events and everything else kind of coming together. Because if you look at all the different break-ins, and I'll cover that, there have been break-ins and attacks on Republican leadership and or offices. There have been, and that's all getting buried. But the paradigm, the perception that is trying to be manipulated is that the right wing is getting, they're getting violent, that this is all coming from the right wing. I don't think so. As a matter of fact, I'll give you my analysis on this as we get to it. But before we do, I want to give you something else to think about. If you have never heard of Tom Fitton and Judicial Watch, you need to. But if you haven't, that means that you just don't watch Fox News and Fox Business and so forth, because he is a regular contributor in providing information with what they are doing right there at Judicial Watch. And he has been exposing this caravan. This is another element of what's going on. He's exposing this caravan. And if you have not seen the footage, then you really need to. And you go to Judicial Watch, I think you'll be able to find the videos. What you'll see is a bunch of young, angry, combatant quality type men and gangbangers and that type of stuff in, you know, on trucks and or, you know, marching and or moving forward. I told you yesterday that this really was a militant band, and the left doesn't know how to suppress this information. So what would be better to take this dialogue off of the mainstream media than bombs getting sent out to all these Democratic leaders? Right? And so if you understand, if you actually check out what Tom Fitton and Judicial Watch is providing, and you understand some of the details that is getting buried from the mainstream media, such as the fact that within this band that is coming up, this band consists of Africans, Bangladeshi, Sri Lankans, and oh, by the way, you know, these types of countries have been basically deeply rooted with Islamic radicals. And so one of the things that they're calling, you know, a lot of these people that are embedded in this group are what they call special interest aliens. There are also large groups of men with criminal histories, aggressive, and they're all aggressively demanding that we have to give them a job and we have to take them in. This is obvious. The dialogue when they get in front of a camera is, oh, we want political asylum. But as they're chanting going through the streets, they kind of forget their little dialogue and they start demanding, hey, America, you owe us. You've got to take us. We're coming and we're knocking down your wall. And this is obvious that this is not a group that is truly seeking asylum. This is a group that is being handled to be presented that way when they can package it in front of the mainstream media. So this lends to a lot of manipulation that is occurring in providing the majority, those people who watch mainstream media, they are receiving what I would consider propaganda, and they are receiving the manipulative message. It also seems to me, as we start tying these bombs together, that this is absolutely a fascinating play. Why is this all happening in October? Why is all this hyperbole in action happening in October? Well, the macro is we've got a very critical election. The left was really counting on a blue wave. And what I've been seeing in the news and some of the reports are that the Republicans are actually out, you know, because typically the early voting is always a big surge of Democrats. That's the typical election year, election process. Not now. It seems the Republicans are actually out in arms and they are, you know, showing up in a much greater number. And so it seems to me like this has become a huge play in trying to downplay the caravan. And I'm just kind of curious as to who would try to send bombs to people that wouldn't understand that the Secret Service manages the roll or the mail call for these former presidents and so forth. I mean, are you really not thinking? I can't believe that this is a cognitive conservative that is really supporting liberty. This has to be, well, I'll tell you who I believe is behind this, or I believe there's a good indication that they're behind this, and we'll be with that as soon as we come back from the break. So please excuse me for this hard break, and I'll be right back after this. Most people resist change, but how would you like to be rewarded in at least two ways for considering a new dentist? Dr. Tracy believes your smile is a reflection upon him, and that is a mutually shared reward between both him and you. Another reward is improving your overall health by working with your dentist like Dr. Tracy and developing a strategy in maintaining your dental health. But how would you like a direct incentive in considering a new dentist? Dr. Tracy and his staff from time to time offer a special referral program. For every new patient you refer who becomes a patient, Dr. Tracy will reward you with $50 off your dental work. Consequently, if you refer five people, that's $250 off your dental work. Give them a call and ask for the details and the availability of the referral program by calling 466-6614 or go to VonTracyDDS.com. Again, that's 466-6614 or sign up at VonTracyDDS.com. If you've listened to my show, Reclaiming the Republic, then you should understand that the Constitution is neither a living document nor a noble guide to governance. In accordance to Article 7, the Constitution is a hard, fast contract, and the states are the only stakeholders in this contract. Integral in contract law, the stakeholders or states possess the inherent authority to exercise oversight and enforcement over their contract. This means they can audit the federal government by the contract, and with republic review, they can enforce compliance to their constitution. Any single state can perform the audit, but when states begin to unite in the auditing process, this is what is referred to as republic review. Please read my argument for republic review as well as my description of the republic review model on reclaimingtherepublic.org. We even have a graphic flowchart that shows you how republic review works. If you want to learn more, contact me on Facebook or send me an email. Thank you. Okay, so the number to dial in is 215-TOP-TALK or 215-867-8255. Do not forget my three C's when you dial in. And let's get on with the dialogue. And as I look at what's being played here, as I look at the fact that who got these packages, Brennan, Clinton, Obama, Holder, just to name a few, Soros, It seems to me like this is far more of a deep state play than it would be a really a well-organized concern. Because I'm going to tell you, you're a fool if you are going to try to, you know, cause harm and you try to go down that path. One, I mean, I can't imagine any good patriot wanting to cause harm that way. We don't need to. I'm telling you, if you are infuriated with what is going on, we have a process. It's called Republic Review. We don't have to resort to violence. I started this whole program off saying that the good Lord provided everything necessary within this Constitution and that the framers stitched everything together through the ratification process, that we do not have to go through a revolution ever again to reassert and reacquire our liberties, as long as we do not discard the Constitution. Now, they're making a situation and they're trying to make a play, and I've said this several times, that my success may not be in getting Republic Review, because we only have 2 to 5 years. My success, my contribution may really be that I've educated enough state legislators that when the left and the progressives drop the hammer in trying to literally get, for political expediency, get the states to allow them to put the Constitution aside, that's when the flag should go off, and that's when these folks need to step up and say, no way, that's our contract. Nowhere in that contract can you do that. That the states can easily, as sovereign, step in at any point in time and say, we don't consider this an emergency. We do not give you, and as I said yesterday, you go look for the word emergency in the Constitution. It's not there. They have an obligation to protect us from invasion and domestic violence. But that is only when, and that's why I say the stipulation that the legislators should be asking for this. All the legislators have to do is step up and say, hey, we don't want this. Now, Governor Brown, and with the fact that there are this caravan of external invading force, I hope that they actually take that left. I hope that they come up into California where Governor Brown is just waiting with his open arms to help these people so that he can commit treason. And I hope that Trump arrests him and all of those people that are supporting and standing behind Governor Brown, because that is treason. When you're providing aid and comfort for the enemy in an invading force, I'm sorry, there's no other way you can cut that. That's treason. And so these bombs and this caravan and all of these little things that are in play right now, there's no doubt in my mind that this is all just orchestration of trying to manipulate the public sentiment, and they're trying to move certain things out of context from the mainstream media. So of course they're going to be focused on these bombs, and these bombs are going to dominate the mainstream media for the rest of the week, and who knows, maybe next week, and maybe other ones will all of a sudden show up. Don't be surprised if they don't find anybody, or if they do, you know, you better do the due diligence in checking and making sure this isn't another Tim McVeigh. Because if you read, there's a really good book, and if you want, I'll look it up, but it was written right after the Oklahoma City bombing, and the Air Force intelligence colonel or general at the time that wrote the book basically pointed to the seismograph that was right there in Oklahoma that identified two distinct and separate bombs, that there were two distinct and separate explosions. And that lends to why the debris went outward and not inward. If you look at the way the bombs went, the smaller bomb was actually on the outside. The greater bomb was on the inside. That's why all that debris went outward. If you compare that to Riyadi with that big, huge truck bomb with, fuel or what have you, a refueling tank truck that was outside the Marine barracks, that literally pushed the outside bricks in through the walls and so forth. I mean, there was not a bunch of debris that flew blocks and blocks like what happened in Oklahoma. And so this guy who is a professional bomb damage assessment officer in the Air Force called it all out, saying none of this speaks to what they're saying happened. And so don't believe that if they find a Timothy McVeigh, that this guy may be, and I wouldn't doubt it, it would be all very too feasible if someday one of you are somewhere in Cancun or something, and you see a guy that looks just like Tim McVeigh, because supposedly they executed him, but maybe they never did. They can stage a lot of things, and they can manipulate us in all sorts of ways. And there's just no doubt in my mind that no good patriotic group would be behind this. This is a far left group that wants government involvement in, you know, taking control, taking, you know, people out and stopping, forcing dialogues, or I should say, forcing a silencing of speech. I mean, that's what radicals want. They want government to stop you from being able to say certain things, like the homosexual movement doesn't want you to call them homosexuals. You got to call us something else. The transgenders, you got to call them they, their, or whatever. And that's my point. They're the ones that are intolerant. Those of us, and I've been telling you this, so don't accept anybody trying to say, oh, well, this is somebody that supports liberty. It's not. This is not a person or organization that is behind liberty. People that support liberty and the concepts of individual liberty, individual sovereignty, literally are those who want people to choose for themselves. And even if we don't agree, we still have the Constitution to win this fight. And that, my friends, is the most important piece of information you need to know. We still have the Constitution on our side. We have the advantage. We have the greatest bomb to take them out, and it's called the U.S. Constitution. So, again, I have a hard time getting past all of this with the former lady, former president, Secret Service managing and handling their mail. You'd have to be an idiot. And this speaks more to the useful idiots that are doing something than some type of really, you know, smart, educated group of people thinking, oh, well, we might be able to get away with this. So there's no doubt in my mind, this is more of a publicity stunt and something that is literally designed to try to move things out of the highlight. And so I'm just going to move forward. I will say this, though, that there is a great article that G. Edward Griffin put out today regarding these protest crowds, these firms that actually have, you know, protesters for hire in Craigslist and so forth. One of the companies, it's called Crowds on Demand, is being sued for $23 million for an extortion plot as they basically used harassment and threatening protests and so forth to defame a very specific corporation and organization. And that's just in play because that's corporate warfare. But in political play, well, you know, how does a politician sue somebody for being shut down? Well, it's really hard to do that. But I'm telling you, if you go watch some of Trevor Lawton's movies about the enemies within and America Under Assault, especially the YouTube videos that he put out last year, he actually exposes the SEIU involvement in doing this, in paying for protesters on demand, paying Antifa $25 an hour. And so you'll find that that's just a part of their play. And all of these people that they hire, they don't have jobs. They're paying them in cash. And their income is literally sucking on the government teat because they're either on welfare or some form of subsidies, or maybe they're living with mom and dad in the basement. That's another possibility as well. One other thing, it already happened, and as a matter of fact, it'll probably happen as we get closer to our election. Google shut down campaign ads and search results for the anti-immigration candidate in Toronto just this past week. And so they can do this, they have been doing this, and this goes straight into the dialogue of election manipulation, voter manipulation, and so forth. Faith Goldie was the candidate in Toronto in a mayoral race who opposes mass immigration. And they basically went after her advertising campaign where she had videos, and search results and banners were literally shut down by Google just 48 hours before the polls open. You can expect that to happen here. Goldie warned that Google is influencing elections, and the same tactics will be used definitely, if not this election, in the 2020 election, because they're getting better and they know what is best for us, even though we disagree. Their power usurps our voice and our authority, because as I've said before, people are the fountain of power for political power. But when you can silence that voice, when you silence that power, then you actually have you have actually undermined our Republican form of government and our ability to get our voices heard with our representation. As I am at a hard break, I will be right back, and I will be talking about global warming before we get into the Federalist Paper number 49. So please stay tuned. I'll be right back. Most of my listeners understand the importance in having strategic goals, but do you have a long-term strategy for your dental health? Too many people are only focused on whitening their smile. I understand the appearance of your teeth can give you confidence, but this can risk your future health in only addressing the cosmetics of your teeth, and many dentists will take your money just to do this. They say failing to plan is planning to fail, and if you don't have a long-term strategy for your teeth and dental health, then you need a new dentist. Every dentist provides a dental plan, but Dr. Tracy and his staff develops a strategy to help you maintain and restore your dental health to what it needs to be. To develop a strategy in maintaining your dental health, connect with Dr. Von Tracy, DDS.com. That's VONTRACYDDS.com. So you too can develop a strategy in maintaining your dental health. To become a citizen, one must take an oath to support and defend the Constitution. Those of us who are naturally born citizens are obligated and duty-bound to fulfill the same oath, even though we're not required to take it, because it is implied upon us at birth. This is why I cannot emphasize enough the importance in supporting businesses who are supporting our Constitution. We have to stop supporting businesses that have chosen to hide behind political correctness, and obviously we must stop supporting progressive businesses who are working to undermine our republic and our Constitution. Do not let businesses or organizations convince you that they are supporting the Constitution by supporting protests for social justice. By definition, social justice is the distribution of wealth, opportunities, and privileges within a society. In other words, they're calling for socialism, which is incompatible with individual liberty and individual sovereignty and our Constitution. With that, please consider supporting businesses who advertise on this show and this radio station. That number to dial in is 215-TOP-TALK, 215-867-8255. And again, don't forget those three C's, and if you're ready to call in, the lines are open. If you don't get need-to-know news from G. Edward Griffin, you should go to the need-to-know news website and actually sign up for his news, because he's obviously covering a lot of things that the mainstream media isn't. One of the things that he had today is he's pointing out that Dr. Patrick Michaels revealed that there are 32 different families of computer models that are supported by multiple governments that are used by the United Nations. And all of them, except for one Russian model, they're all failures, as they have predicted temperatures that are far higher than reality has provided. What is happening, he says, is that these models are parameterized or fudged, meaning that the models are manipulated by the scientists. The Obama administration, by the way, created the endangerment finding in 2009, which gave the EPA massive policy power, and basically it was 100% based on these faulty models. So these things that are being brought out in the news are not making it to anybody that is watching the mainstream media. So if I go through and I start adding to some of the other things that you may not be hearing, because we know about the bombs, we know about this caravan, and these are polarizing things. As I said before, a House Majority Leader, if you know who Kevin McCarthy is, he's a Republican. His office was vandalized by two men who threw a boulder into their window, stole equipment, and so forth. And they actually have pictures of the left-wing terrorist groups, or I should say these two guys were associated to Antifa, which is a left-wing terrorist group. In September, another thing you probably haven't heard in the news, it was Wyoming had a Republican office that they just opened days before go up in flames. Somebody literally burned it down. And even before that, we know what happened in Congress during the Kavanaugh, or actually it was probably around the same time, where they broke into Republican offices to get senators' home phone numbers, addresses, and all of that type of information. And that person is being, you know, held and charged. There's no doubt in my mind, and I think anybody that understands history, these are typical brown shirt tactics designed to manipulate public sentiment and intimidate those on the liberty side. Now, see, I understand that those on the liberty side are not ones who will be easily pushed or compelled and or incited to violence. In other words, most people on that side of the scale of liberty will just walk away. They won't get, you know, they won't be picking up bottles, filling them up with gas and throwing it. It is the people on the opposite end that are hardwired to say, I don't care what it takes, we're going to shut you down, and they will do harm to any and everybody. That's why when you start looking at who's doing this, you have to start really looking at the macro of the wiring of these ideological groups and say, there's no way this is coming off of the liberty side. This is not. This is a manipulation period, and it's got to be somebody towards the subjugation side and or people that, again, it is the necessity or the ends or the means justify the ends. That's what it is. And so it is clearly tactics that are just like the brown shirt tactics to try to intimidate. And mark my words that these bombs and all of these types of actions that we're starting to see play out are not going to be tied to, you know, Sean Hannity and, you know, some little cabal he's got. There's just no way. It's not going to happen that way. You may find somebody that they may have set up. I mean, there's been plenty of times in history where they have set people up. That'll probably be the case again. I know that there's probably a lot of other news to go through, but I need to get into Federalist Paper number 49. So I'm going to forego what's happening with the Raiders, because that speaks to the ideological side again, where these social justice warriors, they really don't care. The means justify the ends. I got to get that right. And so that's why they're okay with leaving their quarterback open. But I digress. In the Federalist Papers, and as well as the ratification debates, these are words coming from those men who actually had absolute knowledge in what they were doing in setting up this government. So the question I have is, are these words that Madison wrote in this Federalist paper, are the words that were written and stated during the ratification debates, are those the words of deceit? Were they trying to bamboozle America? And as a matter of fact, I actually have a reference letter from James Madison to a J.G. Jackson or J.L. Jackson, and I'm going to read it this week. And in this letter, Madison basically states that the only way America can moving forward actually understand and interpret what the Constitution says and what it means is by using the ratification debates, which is the way the country understood the Constitution at the time of ratification. Powerful stuff. And it actually goes right down in support of contract law, because whatever was stated during the negotiations of the contract are the hard binding agreements and actual appendages to that contract itself. So anyway, Madison states this, and this is the third paragraph. If it be true that all governments rest on opinion, it is no less true that the strength of opinion in each individual and its practical influences on his conduct depend much on the number which he supposes to have entertained the same opinion. In other words, public sentiment. The reason of man, like man himself, is timid and cautious when left alone, and acquires firmness and confidence in proportion to the number that which it is associated. When the examples which fortify opinion are ancient, as well as numerous, in other words, a lot of empirical data prove something, they are known to have a double effect. In a nation of philosophers, this consideration ought to be disregarded because they're thinking in a philosophical sense. They're not thinking in historical context and empirical data. A reverence for the laws would be sufficiently inculcated by the voice of an enlightened reason, but a nation of philosophers is as little to be expected as the philosophical race of kings wished for by Plato during his book, The Republic, is what he's talking about. And in every other nation, the most rational government will not find it a superfluous advantage to have the prejudices of the community on its side. The danger of disturbing the public tranquility by interesting too strongly the public passions is still more serious an objection against a frequent reference of constitutional questions to the decision of the whole society. Notwithstanding the success which has attained the revisions of our established forms of government, and which does not much honor the virtue and intelligence of the people, it must be confessed that the experiments are too ticklish to the nature to unnecessarily manipulated, or multiplied, I mean. What he's talking about here is Madison is literally laying out this argument that when man's left to himself, that he's going to be timid and very cautious. But when you get the passion of the crowd going, then you can actually, you know, kind of mob mentality. We'll just call that mob mentality. And so people do damn the torpedoes full speed ahead, not thinking about the consequences. And so what he's talking about in this particular paragraph, because he's lending to this concept of the anti-federalist, where they were saying that, hey, look, we could always just use this convention and kind of take over. And so what he does in this Federalist paper is he's already started to identify that you've got to start being cautious. And in this particular paragraph, he's lending to the fact that you have to be very cautious in moving forward, especially with a well-formed government like this. And in the next couple of paragraphs, we will get into the concept that as people start rallying and getting the passions of the public moving for a convention or to do something, that you have to be very cautious. And I think in the following Federalist paper, he goes right out and says that you've got to be very cautious of those people who were using demagoguery to get everybody embroiled to standing up and calling for this convention. You have to be cautious of those who are doing that, because there's a good chance that you'll find them sitting at that table as a key member that is literally driving a different agenda. And he says they refer to those things as machinations and designs, and that literally is the warning sign, as far as I'm concerned, regarding the convention of states. Why is it that certain people have thrown their hat into trying to amend the Constitution instead of allowing the Constitution to be discussed by the states themselves before they even formulate an amendment, before they don't even have to go through the convention. Every single amendment that America has, almost all of them have been from the design and from the drive or request of the states. I mean, very few has Congress really said, hey, we need to do something here, and so we've got to do that, which was the Electoral College, which was done by Congress. And so most all of them were all done by the states because the states demanded it. I'm at a hard break, but we're going to move forward and we'll get this wrapped up. And like I said, we'll step into Madison tomorrow on the ratification debates. I'll be right back. It's that time of year to get that dental checkup and cleaning. I know many of us are creatures of habit and we tend to settle for what we know, and many of us are procrastinators. I was that way myself with my past dentist, jumping from one dentist chair to the next. From all the hopping, I've learned that all dentists are not equal, and I would challenge you to consider checking out Dr. Von Tracy. I work hard to make a living, and I'm not one to throw my hard-earned money away on just a good dentist. That's why it took me a couple of years to find a great dentist. From the excellence of his staff to the quality of the work, Dr. Tracy is the difference. I know it's time to put standards to our loyalty, so I would ask you to give Dr. Tracy a try by setting up your next appointment with him. Just go to VONTRACYDDS.com or call them at 509-466-6614. Again, sign up at VonTracyDDS.com. To set the record straight, Republic Review is neither an Article 5 convention nor a convention of states. In accordance with Article 5 of the Constitution, this convention requires 2/3 of the states to apply to Congress to convene a convention with the intent to amend the Constitution. This convention is unable to solve our real problem, which is non-compliance to the Constitution, and would be dangerous to convene at this time. In contrast, Republic Review is the process of the states exerting its constitutional authority over the Constitution. An audit does not require an application to Congress. This authority is inherent to principal stakeholders of a contract. Why do we need Republic Review? Because this is the only way the states can deal with the federal encroachments into roles, responsibilities, and powers that belong to the states. To learn more about Republic Review, please go to reclaimingtherepublic.org to read my content and my model on the audit and Republic Review process. Okay, if you want to join in on the dialogue, you need to call 215-TOP-TALK. That's 215-867-8255. And so what I'm going to do is actually I'm going to jump down two paragraphs, because this is really where Madison starts talking about how those people who have the advantage, and those people being the legislators, because bottom line, if you remember, this whole Federalist paper, the title was "The Method of Guarding Against Encroachments of Any One Department by of Government by Appealing to the People Through a Convention." Now, this is not an Article 5 convention. This is a convention, as I stated before, the correcting breaches of or violations of the contract or the Constitution. And so there's no discussion as to the amendments. There's no discussion as to putting forth any amendments. But what Madison says, going down two paragraphs, he says, "With these advantages, it could hardly be supposed that the adverse party would have an equal chance for a favorable issue. But the legislative party..." Now, so who are the parties? You've got the judicial party, you've got the executive party, and then you've got the legislative party. There's the three parties within the federal government. And the whole point is that one party would be taking advantage of the other two, or two parties would be taking advantage of one party, or so forth. And so in trying to ensure the balance of power is being maintained, this whole premise was that they would be able to use conventions to enforce and maintain those balances of power. So going back to this advantage, it says, "But the legislative party would not only be able to plead their cause most successfully with the people, they would probably be constituted themselves to be the judges." In other words, they would put themselves in the position of becoming the delegates at that convention. The same influence which had gained them an election into the legislature would gain them a seat in the convention. If this should not be the case with all, it would probably be the case with many, and pretty certainly with those leading characters on whom everything depends in such bodies, you know, the instigators. The convention, in short, would be composed chiefly of men who had been, who actually were, or who expected to be members of the department whose conduct was arranged. They would consequently be parties to the very question to be decided by them. It might, however, sometimes happen that appeals would be made under circumstances less adverse to the executive and the judiciary departments. The usurpations of the legislature might be so flagrant and so sudden as to admit of no serious coloring. A strong party among themselves might take side with the other branches. The executive power might be in the hands of a particular favorite of the people. And so, like with Washington, obviously he was a favorite of the people. But the point is, is that in this particular case, he's literally focused on, and because that's what the dialogue was, what do you do when one branch takes more power from another? What they didn't envision, and actually I can't say that they didn't envision, because I've already provided other Federalist Papers where Hamilton pointed out that the state legislators needed to create barriers to keep the federal government from encroaching upon their powers. But in this particular case, this is where a group of legislators or very particular agitators could actually start pleading a case and saying, hey, look, you know, they're taking over. And as a matter of fact, a good example of that was just recently with Obama, because Obama was literally taking advantage of legislative powers. And the legislators whined, but they did not do an effective job in trying to enforce the Constitution. They completely failed. They had no idea of what to do. And so what they did was they surrendered to the Supreme Court, which at that point in time was kind of already leaning towards a strong executive. In other words, they were with the new judges that was going into the court. Because it's the same thing with Obamacare. They allowed the self-aggrandizing, but I will give the court credit on one thing, that Obama, with his appointments during supposed recesses, was considered, and he was reprimanded by the Supreme Court for overstepping his powers, that he still needed to go through the advice and consent of the Senate because they were not in recess. And so if you kind of look at the encroachment concept of how Obama, with EOs, executive orders, as well as trying to step over with the recesses and so forth, there could have been an easy cause for Congress to literally make an appeal to the people to say, hey, look, we've got to start enforcing this Constitution. Why is it that they didn't do that? Why is it that when I sat down and listened to some of my Congress people, I heard them just whine and complain that Obama is stepping on the Constitution? Why is it that they weren't familiar with this concept of trying to enforce the powers by making an appeal to the people of enforcement? And basically, if you understand Republic Review, if you understand the auditing, getting the states and the people to step in and say, hey, look, you can't do that. This article here was the stepping stone that went from, as I said before, when starting to read this, from the notes on the state of Virginia, when Jefferson was basically saying the people and or the sub-elements of power, the sovereigns underneath that government, they have the ability to put that government back into check. And so this article right here is the stepping stone that led them to what ended up happening in 1798. There's no doubt in my mind that when Jefferson and Madison recognized the violations of the Constitution by trying to limit speech, especially political speech, then they took the opportunity to going to Kentucky and Virginia and literally getting the state legislators to demand an audit. And that's exactly what Jefferson did in the resolution. I talk to people all the time. I ask you to go read his resolution, and you will find that clearly Jefferson called out the violations, the overassertions, the assumptions, the lack of delegating those types of powers. I mean, everything he was doing was literally clarifying how they were violating the Constitution in every direction and every way with these four acts. In addition to that, he also said that the states needed to coalesce and to set up delegates for conventions and committees of correspondence so that they would start working and moving forward in reprimanding and rebuking the federal government for their violating the Constitution. Madison, as his response to this, literally came out and saying, you know, look, whenever the federal government goes well beyond its delegated powers, it is not only incumbent, but the state legislators are duty bound to step in and interpose and arrest this form of evil. What we have is we have a lot of people that do not understand the difference between an enumerated constitution and a general constitution. I have basically 2 minutes left. And so as Mr. Iredell, I think, talked about it, and if those of you who've been tuning in and listening, he was a Federalist for North Carolina during the ratification debates. And Mr. Iredell probably gave the best metaphor, because most people understand powers of attorney. A power of attorney can be a general power of attorney, or it can be a specific power of attorney. And most people can tell you what the difference is. That is that you can equate that to the same thing as a enumerated constitution and a general constitution. A general constitution empowers the government to do whatever they need necessary. We're giving you this military power, we're giving you this, and do what you need to do. In an enumerated constitution, in that constitution, you literally delegate what powers you are giving them, and those are the only powers. Just like Mr. Iredell pointed out that in a power of attorney, you could give somebody the permission to sell a very specific piece of property in one county. Knowing that you have properties in other counties, could that person then just instantly leap to this concept of going, well, if I can sell this property, then I can sell all your properties and take that assumption? No. And it's the same thing with the Constitution. Well, if you've given me this power, then obviously I can take all these powers. No. That is why we were granted, or that's why they literally drew up an enumerated constitution. A general constitution basically identifies for the general state, you know, that we're creating this government to do great things for us. That was the original forms of constitutions prior to the American Constitution. If you understand the Constitution of Britain, if you understand the Constitution of Rome, the sovereignty was left with the king or Caesar, and in Britain, it was left with the monarch or later Parliament. And so in America, sovereignty was left with the people and the states, and that was the brilliant first step ever in pulling back and taking away the ability for a government to become despotic. I am G.R. Mobley. I'm Reclaiming the Republic. I need your help. I'll be right back tomorrow. God bless. Reclaiming the Republic is more than an educational radio show. My intent is to also work with you and local leadership to promote matters of the Constitution and self-governance. This way we can all promote constitutional awareness within our communities and with our elected officials and public leaders. If you love liberty and sovereignty and recognize the federal tyranny that is threatening our lives, then we are asking for your help. And here are a few ways you can help. Spread the word about this radio show, Reclaiming the Republic. It is the only radio show in the world asserting a constitutional solution to federal overreach. Download and share our podcast and content. Read, like, follow, and share our Moby Strip Press and Reclaiming the Republic pages on Facebook. Follow us on Twitter at Moby Strip News. Get informed about local groups in the area and get involved. Most importantly, become a constitutional warrior with your local leaders and demand that they begin applying constitutional tests to what they are doing and who they are supporting. Thank you.